We will get answers in a few hours, probably around 10 o'clock tonight. The Steelers will get put on the clock, and then we'll see if they come away with the player that has been described by at least one member of the Steelers organization, according to Jerry Dulac, as a, quote, generational talent. And that is the center from Duke, Graham Barton. See, I did it there. I just caught myself because I've been hearing people say it so much that way, and it's starting to, like, bug me, and I just fell victim to it.
The tackle from Duke.
No, when people say center, like they over, like they pronounce, I just say center. Like I just very quickly.
C-E-N-E-R, center.
Yeah.
There's no T in there.
But
when Terenum.
When you say it, do you like stop and make center? Do you, center.
Like, who are you, Starkey?
But how do you say it casually when we're talking about it?
The center from Duke.
Thank you.
Now, I had to think about that because you were weirding me out.
But I keep hearing what
you're the center from Duke,
you're
going
to recognize
they're going to identify
like
center.
Crowley is the guy that says, center, center.
Who is he, the
center.
The old phone company lady? The number you have been looking for is disconnected.
Donnie, have you picked up on that too? Some people say center and other people make sure that they spend special like special time to make sure they say center.
I don't know why I haven't noticed Crowley say it like
that.
He's
I
guess I will tonight.
Guy.
Center.
Yeah.
Centaur.
Center.
Half man,
center.
Half horse.
I'm a center
centaur.
Man. I just glide right through it. No, so
Can't find a center man.
So generational talent in all this. Yeah, you know, I think the reason why this has been kind of a very a draft process for me where I've vacillated and kind of gone back and forth on so much of this stuff
mm-hmm.
is because the Steelers go into this draft. Even though they got high marks for their offseason with so many holes. And like the one thing that people have said, fans have said this a lot calling into our station. I'm sure Donnie will even mention this having talked to him off the air when he starts the draft show at 6. When I hear people say they should trade down, it makes so much sense to me because they have, I think, they've got at least 4 holes that got to get filled in the next 2 days.
Center.
Tackle.
Wide receiver.
Corner. Yes.
Ding.
And so the more premium picks or better picks I have to check off those boxes, the better I feel about things. I don't remember going into last year's draft thinking that they had a bevy of starting spots that were still open and up for grabs. So, and then 2 years ago, they really, really needed a quarterback, and you just rank and prioritize that position above and beyond everything else. So that's why, unless there's a player in the first round who you are head over heels in love with, the best thing I think is to accrue better picks earlier in the draft to help you get those starting players in this draft because if you don't, what's left? Trades and the scraps and leftovers from free agency, the dudes that are going to get
cut. Pick up the phone and call Tyler Boyd again?
Yeah, the guys that are going to get cut like on 53-man roster day and like keeping your fingers crossed that one of these guys that's a backup or third stringer on another team is good enough to be your starter.
They've tried that at times and it hasn't worked.
It's not a way to live.
I actually do have a player that I'm just dead set on. I wish they would take Amarius Mims. They still might. In fact, I'm going to stick to my guns and say they will take him. That a lot of this stuff's a smokescreen. Here is where I maybe there's actually two positions where I think they can find value later in the draft. In a perfect world, Frazier somehow is there at 51, and I would say take him because I think he's a starter. Maybe a lower ceiling, but a very high floor. Zach Frazier. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'd get Mims if Frazier somehow falls to 51. I will sign the card myself in my own blood for that. So Crowley should be happy to hear that they've got their center, and he's from West Virginia. I think you can find value, though, at center later in the draft. Now, I know that makes people leery because of Kendrick Green, but when you look at Cedric Van Pran Granger from Georgia and Hunter Norzad from Penn State, especially Van Pran Granger, because Hunter Norzad did play other positions at a smaller school, Van Pran Granger,
Cornell,
Big Red.
The
dregs of the Ivy. I hope Aditi's not listening. She'll be very upset. Or Sarah Spain of ESPN. I think in Van Pran Granger and, to a lesser extent, Norzad, you can get value there. I also think you can get value at wide receiver. So I do think there's a way with your first 4 picks, 20, 51, 84, 98, that you can actually identify all these needs with guys who are relatively premium players or can start immediately. But you have to go in the following order. Tackle, cornerback, wide receiver, center. Or center, wide receiver, however that your particular board falls. I don't think they're actually going to do that, though. Like, you know what would sound like a perfect draft for me if Frazier's not there at 51 and you don't want to trade up? Mims, you're going to be nervous because we just heard Steve Palazzolo call this guy a little bit of a project. Max Melton, Rutgers, corner. Give me, you know, Leggett somehow drops to 84, although he seems to be rising lately from South Carolina, the receiver. And then give me Van Pran Granger at 98. And I'm a pretty happy guy.
There's just, like, I have, having watched virtually all of West Virginia's games because of who I'm married to, and the fact that for 2 years I've heard that Frazier is going to be a really good NFL center, why would I instead use the 20th pick on a guy that's only played 5 games there, and it was back in 2020, 4 years ago, and now all I'm hearing is that he's like a virtual lock to be this great center for years to come when we don't really have any evidence to go by other than we just look at the way he's shaped and the way he moves and we think he would be great at that position. I'm just not, I don't want to make that type of player the headline of my draft, given their whiffs and their swings and misses and their mistakes with offensive linemen and thinking, oh, this guy's really this, but he really played here, but we think he'd be better off there. Yeah, he was a right guard, but let's make him play left guard. He was a left guard, but let's make him a center.
Those Kendrick
He was a left
Green,
tackle, so let's make him a right tackle.
The Kendrick Green wounds are deep for you.
And it goes on and on and on with them, yes. And so I just give me, if I'm going to get offensive linemen in this draft, give me guys who they have a proven track record. They played this position in college, and they were very, very good at it, and it's not going to take getting them to the drawing board or copious hours in the lab late at night, getting to the facility at 3 a.m., working individually with coaches to get the position down pat. I don't trust them with that. They've given me no reason to think, oh, well, they made Al Villanueva, a wide receiver who played left tackle, when they had a Hall of Fame offensive line coach. Exactly.
Does hand size matter for you at all as center?
Why is he enormous hands?
Zach Frazier's got like a pair of Rawlings baseball gloves.
He's
for
got
hands.
Very short arms, though.
Is he a T-Rex then? The guy has almost 11-inch hands. He's almost got a pair of Druckenmillers.